You are listening to Operate, the Design Ops podcast, where we discuss all things organizational and operational for individual designers and design teams alike. So let's try to get started by defining what Design Ops is. It's kind of hard right now in the industry, simply because of the varying definitions of Design Ops. Some teams need an entire Design Ops team, or some organizations need an entire Design Ops team that can take care of multiple facets of their design teams. Others just need one person that can handle the majority of the work in their entire organization. And in the end, it really comes down to the size and needs of that specific team and that specific organization. So this definition is very self-referential, kind of meta, as the cool kids call it. It's ultimately solving problems for people who solve problems. Yeah. Anyway, we are very privileged to have this opportunity in our industry. There's a lot of money that goes around. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of opportunities. So we are very privileged that we can take care of other people that are taking care of other people. It is very kind of like a circle that goes around. But to get to the point, I found that the best way to define Design Ops is by example. So let's start with the company that kind of coined the word Design Ops. So back in November of 2016, I believe, Airbnb's Adam Cleave, who was at the time the director of Design Ops at Airbnb, wrote a blog post describing how their team was organized and the roles that they fulfilled. Not sure if it's different now, but at the time of the writing, the Design Ops team consisted of five smaller groups: the Design Program Management team, the Design Tools team, Localization team, Production Design team, and Team Coordinators. So they had different groups of people that took care of the different design things in their organization. Like the Design Program Management team drove operational strategy and owned and evolved a holistic design process. The Design Tools team built tools to empower and amplify designers, as well as bridging disciplines. Localization focused on languages and making sure that was consistent. Same with production design, just making sure the quality was at a certain level. And then just team coordinators that were there to keep teams healthy and happy and kind of keep leadership sane. I love the way he kind of described those things. Most of those were his words there. So here's my summary of Design Ops and how a lot of these ideas apply to both people in organizations that are taking care of other people that take care of people or the freelancer. You'll see that there are a lot of similarities between the two and how to organize design. So here are a few phrases that I kind of think about, and I found that simply adding on the phrase, quote unquote, at scale, at the end of these phrases, makes it something that can fit into a Design Ops role. Take that phrase away, and it's something that the freelancer normally does. So the freelancer normally ensures feedback is appropriate and timely. In a Design Ops role, they do that at scale. A freelancer usually organizes their design process to ensure consistent quality. Doing that in a Design Ops role is just simply taking care of that for other people at a larger organization at scale. Requiring and documenting clear agendas and action items for meetings. That's obviously something that a freelancer has to do in order to run their business successfully. But here are some things that are unique to Design Ops in an organization. And this is kind of where the industry currently is focused in the term design operations, is how it applies to an organization. Design Ops roles provide empathy for the design team as they provide empathy for the users. It's good to have that support when that team gets that large. They also plan recruiting standards and new hire onboarding, which is one thing that freelancers never have to deal with. It's kind of hiring on other people unless they're very successful and highly successful. So a note for you freelancers, you really want to become fast at some of the stuff that we're going to be talking about, because you don't want to be spending time organizing. You want to be spending time billing, meaning you need to be doing the actual work that you're hired to do. So hopefully these tips will help not only freelancers, but the Design Ops teams as well, just become faster. So now that we have a general sense of what Design Ops is for an organization, how does this apply to individual designers? Well, it comes down to process and workflow. These practices of Design Ops teams can trickle down all the way into the workflows and organizations of individual designers. So yes, this was still an introduction. New episodes will be full of those tips and tricks to help us all become better and faster at our general organization. But in the meantime, here's something to work on. Know that communication is the key. Everything that we discuss in this podcast should be underpinned with good communication. If an organization starts to break down, it's probably because of ineffective communication. You need to be open, transparent, and share what you are thinking and feeling. Teams only grow and work well together when communication is effective. This is the same for a basketball team or football team. So until the next episode, chime in with your questions. You can download the Anchor app and send me voice messages, and I can feature it in the show here, which will be pretty fun. Or you can send me a message on Twitter via direct message or mention at JHNWLSN. That's John Wilson without vowels. Talk soon. Operate can be listened to through your favorite podcast app or read through the email newsletter, where each episode will be transcribed in its entirety and sent out the same day an episode is posted. Visit operatepodcast.com to sign up.